All right, so this is a test to determine if you can use the homogeneous Poisson process or what kind of pattern or trend that you're dealing with so you can pick the appropriate model for the non-homogeneous Poisson process. And it's a convenient, although rather confusing in the way it works out, but it works out pretty well and it's easy to test. So you may well see this Mann reverse arrangement test. But it's based on this concept of reverses, and it's based on a non-parametric a test to detect whether you've got a constant pattern or not. And so Mann and a handful of other statisticians worked out a way to looking at the arrival times of repairs and whether they're getting closer together or further apart in general. And it's a non-parametric test, so it's not really powerful, but it does do the job to tell you whether you've got a constant trend or not. So let's take a look at this reversal idea. So if I've got a set of data that is the times between failures. So I ran for 50 hours and we had to replace something. And then we ran for 145 hours and something else failed and needed repair service. And so on, 230, 120, 250 hours and so on. So I've got five times that go from time zero up to time, and you can add all these together. So it'd be 50 is the first repair. The calendar time or the operating time, 195 to the second repair, and then 195 plus 232, so somewhere around 400 hours, and then we go up to 500 some hours, 700 hours, something like that. So we're looking at the times between failures, not the total time. And something to keep in mind as you look at your questions. So we're back to reversals. So in this case, 50 is less than all of the other arrival times or intervals. So 50 is less than 145, so that's 1. It's less than 232, that's 2. It's less than 120 and 150, so that's 3 and 4. So we have 4 reversals. So at 4 points in time, the arrival time later after this first repair were larger times, and we call those reversals. So 145, though, is less than only 2 of the following items. So it only has 2 reversals, and 232 is the biggest number in the list, so there's nothing after it that's a reversal. So let me grab my pen here. So the idea is that I'm looking at 50, comparing it to everything else, right? Down that comes afterwards. But if I'm looking at the 145, the second failure, I'm not looking at 50 anymore. I'm only looking at what's downstream. Should do it that way. And I think I can get one more color in here. If I'm looking at 232, I'm only looking at those two items. So it's not looking at your previous failure times, it's only looking at future times for that event. And that's the trick to counting how many reversals that you have in a set of data. So in this particular set, if you go through it all, I have 7 total reversals, 4 of which come from the first set of data, and then 2 from the second, and so on down the list. So that's how we count reversals. It's when the future time to the next failure is larger than the one we're looking at. Or you could also say it is that when the item I'm looking at, the first failure, 50 in this particular case, is actually less than the subsequent inner arrival times in this case. In either way you phrase it, you just need to be consistent so you don't confuse yourself. But basically, I'm looking for numbers that are bigger than the one that I'm under consideration for. So hopefully that's clear, and hopefully this provides a little clarity to what these reversals are. So it's a hypothesis test, which I know we haven't talked about yet in the course if you're going through this sequentially. But the basic idea is that we're going to make the assumption that the times are independent and identically distributed, which is another way of saying that the chance of failing in every given instance of, say, hours is the same. That we have a homogeneous Poisson process, which relies on that it has independent and identically distributed probabilities of needing repair. And then we can pick an alternative hypothesis that the times are increasing, or it's decreasing, or it's just not constant, a two-sided interval. And so depending on what we're interested in, we set up our hypothesis test this way. So then we get, let's look at an example, and we have a set of data that's just on the number of days between repairs on a particular event. And we also know that one of the assumptions is that the repair times is small or insignificant compared to the operating time. So if our repairs were taking in the days of weeks or months, and our failures were occurring in the order of weeks or months, this process wouldn't work. But we're going to use the system that actually only took an hour or two to make repairs, and we were dealing with days of months between failures. So we're probably pretty safe with this assumption or this criteria. Right. Now, we're given in this problem the time from the start of operation. So those are not inter-arrival times. The difference between it's the difference between 36 and 63 is the first inter-arrival time, second inter-arrival time, third, so on. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I'm going to have 5 inter-arrival times. Doing some quick math, we come up with our inter-arrival times. And let's count some reversals. So let's take just this number 27. So 23 is smaller, so it doesn't count. 42 is larger, I'm going to add one there. 37 is larger, and 159 is larger. So I get 3 reversals for this item. Now, I do that for each item, and remembering that I only look at future arrival times when I'm making these comparisons. So for number 27, 36 is not part of the counting process. It's not in the comparisons. And so doing this, hopefully you'll see the same number of reversals I did, and I get 11 reversals altogether. All right. Then we need to calculate the mean and standard deviation. This is the average number of reversals and the average and the standard deviation of those reversals. So there's a given formula, given the underlying distributions we're dealing with. This is the Poisson process, and we get a couple of values. Pretty straightforward. Then we look at the critical value. We're doing a hypothesis test, so we want to compare the results we're getting versus a decision point of some sort. So here we're using a 5% significance level, and if we're looking at a two-sided distribution test, we get, I think it's 1.96 is the value we would have as the critical, plus or minus 1.96. And so we have the three different hypotheses here. Depending on which one we pick, we would use a slightly different formula for figuring out which one we would compare it to. All right. So in this example, there's also, and I'm using this C sub alpha on here, which is if my sample size is less than 30, it's a correction to the calculation. And in the reading, it talks about, and this is part of that Mann reversal test, is they figured out that a way to correct for the smaller sample sizes. And so I'm just going to mention it that it's here. So in this particular case, is the process getting more reliable? So is the inner arrival times increasing? And so I'm going to create a critical value based on 95% one-sided And so it's 1.645. And I've got the standard deviation value, I've got the mean value, and a correction. I only have six samples, six readings, or five in or arrival times. So it gets this correction added into the formula. And so my critical value for the number of reversals I should expect is 39. So if I have more than 39 reversals, then I would conclude that there's evidence that it's getting better. But I don't. I only have 11 reversals, so I don't have enough data to say that it's getting better or not. But if I use a plot, if I just simply plot this mean cumulative plot, which I don't think we've described before, or I described before, it's the number of failures. It's just the count of failures that occur and over time. And so at, well, I think it was 45 days, I had the first failure, and at it's 120, I think it was, or something like that, or 95, second failure, and so on. And you just plot it that way. The plot itself is informative. So if I had enough evidence to show that it was curving over like this, not just this one point off of what is essentially a straight line, I would have evidence that it's getting better. So it could be getting better, but there's not enough information to be convincing. On the other hand, if my data was doing this, was getting steeper, and there is sufficient data for a 95% test, then I would say it's getting worse. That reminds me of my old car. So just plotting the data can give you an indication of which way it's going. And then the Mann reversal test allows you to test, is that a significant pattern or not. So if it's anything other than straight, which in this case is what our conclusion is, in this case, we could use either the homogeneous Poisson process or the non-homogeneous Poisson process, but there's no reason to go to the more complex model because there's no evidence that it's different than a straight line. All right, hypothesis testing. We're going to have a whole segment and talk about hypothesis tests, both parametric and non-parametric ones. So if you've got a good stats book, it's a good opportunity to look ahead a little bit and review hypothesis testing. Next section, we'll look at another way to look at trends and whether the trend is really there or not.